from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, transformational leader, health scientist, and health futurist, Matt Riemann.
Look at the night sky.
And performance guests, Naya Kate and Lily Fang. I am Mark Legere. And now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I am excited about the conversation we're about to have this evening with our guest. One of the things that is most important in my mind about the potential of what this conversation is about is something that comes up, I would say, with every single client. I venture to say every single client, truly. And frankly, myself included, it's something that we seem to all do. And that is that we don't seem to remember or take note of certain patterns in our life. So we'll do things over and over and over again without realizing we're doing things over and over and over again. And not necessarily through a fault of our own. Things look different. We're different. The world is different. It's a different person that this is happening with, or it's a different situation. But fundamentally, it's kind of the same thing. And so what I'll get to hear in my coaching sessions more often than not is, why is this happening? Or I can't believe this is happening to me. And then what we'll find is that, well, this has happened before, and this has happened before, and this has happened before. It just looked different. And so if we had a way to register, well, what did you do then? And was it the right decision or not the right decision ultimately? Or was it not necessarily right or wrong, but did it serve you, or did you find something that would serve you better? And this is not just for things that didn't go the way we want them to. This is for things that are ultimately very successful. Like I achieved this when I was 5, and then I achieved this when I was in high school, and then this when I was in college, and then this, et cetera, et cetera. And yet we don't have necessarily, or we're not taught, or we don't have an application potentially where we can look back and say, this is how I did this and it worked for me. This is how I did this and it worked for me. And this seems to work for me and I'm happy to do more of this, or this doesn't work for me. So the next time I see a situation like this, then I'm going to do it differently. So I'm taking this opportunity to say, putting that out there. And at the same time, on some level, I have a feeling like there's a connection with the conversation that we're going to be having today. And I am excited about that. So I'm also excited about having the performance guests on the show. I mean, it's just as life changes goes, I'm excited. So as a matter of fact, so much so that we've titled this episode, our 795th episode, Your Greatest Gift is Remembering Who You Truly Are. So in a sense, I think we just started talking about that already. And we're going to talk about it more with our guest, who is an acclaimed speaker. He's an author. He's an educator. He's a mentor and leading expert in transformational leadership, human evolution, and the future of human health. We have Matt Riemann on the show. Welcome, Matt, to the Life Changes Show.
Thanks, Filippo. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you here. So I know you like to start kind of at the beginning, and I want to start actually just before the beginning, because in a sense, you seem like the best person to have something, as horrible as some things were, the best person to have something like what you're going to talk about happen to. And at the same time, the most unlikely, in my opinion, person to figure out what you figured out. And I'll say real quickly why I think that. Because especially in education, or people that have been taught a certain thing for so long and teach other people a certain thing so long, sometimes they too get stuck in, this is what we know and this is how we know it, and we just keep knowing, right? But you took a knowing and blew it up.
You could say that. That's a great way to start the conversation. I love that. And I can certainly echo that's a fairly common way that most of us operate. And I must say, I certainly was like that in my early days. And yeah, as we talked about before, I grew up in health and medicine. I got a bachelor and master's in applied human sciences. We did a university lecturer at two major universities in Australia, one over here in the US. And I taught doctors and health professionals anatomy, biology, physiology, biochemistry for almost 15 years. So I thought I knew a lot about the body, very, very grounded in science and medicine, until one day I woke up in excruciating pain and I could hardly breathe. I could hardly move. I thought I was having a heart attack. And I just remember laying there in bed, and any movement of my chest was like a dagger through my heart, and I could just hardly breathe in or out. I was trying to call out. I had no power behind my cries for help, and just small little cries for help were coming out. I was in my early 20s, living in a share house. My bed was a mattress on the floor. I couldn't even get up or roll over. I was just paralyzed. And I just remember laying there with so many thoughts racing through my head. Just, I was calling out as loud as I could for help over and over and over. Was I having a heart attack? Was I going to die if I don't get to the hospital urgently? It was really terrifying. And after about a minute of me crying out, which seemed like an eternity, my girlfriend, who was sleeping right next to me, about 3 inches from me, finally woke up, came to my assistance. And from that moment on, I lived in constant pain, all down my arms, all down my legs, all down my back, all down my chest and body. And I spent many years chasing answers, consulting the best doctors, specialists, tried all the drugs, all the supplements, did all the gadgets, all the protocols, all the diets. Nothing worked. And I just remember countless days of just agony, just bedridden, worse, having to get through the day of unbearable pain with no relief available. There was some times I used to actually carry around a bottle of iodine and a pipette with me to test the actual starch content of foods before I'd know if I could even eat them or not. Not because it would help, but in the hope it would avoid making the symptoms worse. So it was a really horrible existence at that time. And after many misdiagnoses and failed treatments, and I thought, okay, this can't get any worse. Then I got diagnosed with a terminal disease, and that terminal diagnosis, which was a combination of a neurodegenerative and an autoimmune disease, which is due to a mutation in my TTR gene. And it was just like that. I got given 10 years to live, and in my 20s, I got a death sentence. And I don't know if anyone listening to this right now has ever had to tell their family or their friends they're dying, but I can tell you that was the single worst experience of my life. And I would never, ever wish that upon anyone. And that was kind of my starting point from saying, is there more to this conversation? I was offered a liver transplant at that point in time. And I asked the doctors, what will this do? And they said, we don't know. And that was just enough. And, I was just stuck with, why aren't there answers for me? Why are there not answers? And what happened next really changed my life. It was one of the most profound realizations I would ever realize, and something so powerful it changed my life and can change the whole of health and medicine around the world. And it was very simple, actually. It was just, I was different. I wasn't like anyone else. I was unique. And that's why nothing worked for me. And not one single doctor knew that, could understand that, could treat me like that, or like the unique individual that I was. And guess what? There's 8 billion of us, and we're all unique individuals, and not one of us is the same, not even identical twins. So that's kind of started my journey into a different direction. And my invitation for everybody who listens to many stories like this is just, there's so much more out there than what we realize. And you're right, you don't know what you don't know. And I always urge so many people just to try and go beyond the realms of their limits of their mind and explore what's out there, because there's so much that we don't know. But that was the starting point for me to break into a new direction, for sure.
What was there, many ahas, I'm sure, but I'm different. Is that what it was that said, okay, so how am I different? What was the breakthrough moment?
Yeah, well, it turns out for me, I had very low digestive enzymes. And at the time, again, I was in my 20s, I was going to the gym 4 days a week, I was riding my bike, I was healthy, I was happy, I had no stress, I had an incredible life. I would have said I was one of the healthiest people alive until the next day I woke up in that state. And so for me, it was, I couldn't process the amount of protein I was having. They end up getting, the protein was not getting digested properly. It was turning the calcification into my spine, which was causing a lot of the neural issues, and then my nervous system and my immune system, which then contributed towards my constant sickness that I was getting too. So it was a really interesting time to explore this. This is back, 20 plus years ago now. And so it was a very progressive time for that. Obviously, we talk a lot more about that these days, but back then it wasn't a very common conversation. It was very non-mainstream to sort of think like that. The fact that I actually changed locations from where I lived, which is now a science we refer to as geomedicine, to move from a dry climate to a humid climate. And I stopped eating protein for about 6 months. That's actually the thing after every single medical thing I followed. That's the two things that changed things for me significantly. And the message out there is just, it's so different for everybody. And that's really the key, is if you can just do the two simple things, is just first find out who you are. And the second, just do what's right for you. It's really simple, but seems to be complicated. Just find out who you are and just do exactly what's right for your unique body, for your unique mind, for your unique spirit. And that's all we need to do. So that's really the starting point of where we are today.
Oh, that's easy. Okay. Well, now that we're done with that, so that many years ago, what you were coming upon was new. Actually, you came upon a lot of things that were new, and things that still aren't talked about by the majority of people today. And we're going to touch on them today. So one of the things that it's not just that you're different, but from everybody else, your circumstances, no matter what they are different from everybody else, right? And that's the epigenetic part. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the epigenetics, for those who don't know, still refers to the things outside of your genes. So epi meaning above or on. So things above or beyond your genes that influence how your genes work in everyday life. And so one of the keys to the work that we do now, which is, you know, helping people at scale, I'll share about that as we go here on the conversation, but it's really coming down to understanding that you're very different. So Filippo right now has things, your different climate that's happening. Maybe it's hot where you are right now. Maybe you didn't get much sleep last night. Maybe you're highly stressed because you have to have really, really stressful conversations like these. So there's a lot of different factors that change all the time for you. And the fact is that Filippo right now is a very different Filippo in even an hour from now, let alone a day from now, let alone a week, a year, or 10 years from now. So even though you have the same genes, and you're the same, you know, the same parents and the same hereditary and everything like that, you change very regularly. And that's the concept of epigenetics, things outside of your genes that affect how your genes come to life. And you've got, you know, 20 to 25,000 genes in every cell of your body, and they get switched on or off in different ways by different things. And we've learned a lot more about it. It's these epigenetics that influence the way the genes come on or off, which equals your state of health or dis-ease at any point in time. So that's really been a key finding that science is adopting a lot more in the last 10 years to really start to fine tune on how you can actually help change that state of health to help that person on their journey. And so that's really been a big part of, again, for me, I moved climate, which was a big epigenetic influence, and I changed my diet, which is a big epigenetic influence. So these were epigenetic factors or influences that I used and harnessed to change my gene expression to then have me being in the state of health that I am today, which I'm very excited to be alive and having these conversations.
I am excited that you're alive and having this conversation with me. And I'm glad you're bringing all of these elements into the conversation. And I don't think I've heard of this other element that you're about to bring in, phenotype. I don't think I heard about that until I started researching you and your work. Could you explain that, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So this will be a bit more of a common conversation. It's still a bit sciencey, geeky, the word, but essentially refers to when your genes, which is your genotype, comes to life, that equals your phenotype or you. So it equals Filippo as you are when you look in the mirror, and even how you think when you look in the mirror is your phenotype. So it's essentially a fancy way to say you. That's phenotype. So the most important part of that for us is we have the genes, which you're born with, and they are what they are. But then you have your environment and lifestyle factors, which is these epigenetics that we just talked about, that influence that. And it's your genotype plus your epigenetics that equals your phenotype. So it's Filippo as he's born with his genes, with the weather, his sleep, his food, his activity, and all these things equals who he is today as he looks in the mirror or as we look at him. So that's essentially your phenotype is you, but that's how we can reverse engineer. If we're going to change Filippo or change his phenotype, how can we do that? Well, we realize that we can't change your genes. Well, generally speaking, unless we actually go through genetic modification, we can't change your genes, but we can actually influence significantly your environment and lifestyle, which is your epigenetics, to then change who you are today. And that's really one of the biggest, most powerful things we discovered And that's really one of the most powerful discoveries in the field of modern medicine, that, when it comes to health or disease, the principles are the same for everyone, which is just find out who you are and do what you need to do for you. But the particulars are different for everybody. The amount of sleep you need is different to me. The food that's good for you is different to me. The weather that's good for you is different to me. The friends that you hang out with that cause you stress or not stress are different to me and different to everyone else in the world. So that's really us being able to quantify these epigenetic factors, help us to influence your phenotype, which is who you are at any given moment in time, to really help you be healthful and have a healthy and happy life. So that's really a lot of the principles that are there. And I hope that helped answer a little bit about the phenotype in an easy way. It's just you.
Absolutely. And so I was thinking back to the monologue, how sometimes we don't have access to what has worked for us in the past or what hasn't worked for us in the past, or we don't know how to use that in this moment or see the pattern. And now you also bring up another great point, and that is, if we think we know what has worked for us in the past, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work for us right now, or vice versa, because right now is different than ever, right?
Exactly. Well, that's right. It's that extra complicated layer, because we often get caught up in, like, let's listen to these sort of radio shows, and let's, watch all our, TV shows or podcasts, and listen to what everyone else is doing to try and, like, lose weight or get fitter or, change my disease state, whether it's cancer, diabetes, whatever it might be. We listen to what other people have done, and none of us ever stop to think or ever actually talk about the fact that whatever they've done is completely irrelevant, because you're a
Right.
unique individual, and that's for you. And you can't do what you do all the time, because, again, as the weather changes, you're a different person. Most of us know this intuitively. So let's say we're out on a, in the middle of a desert island right now, and it's 120 degrees and it's super hot. And I'm like, Filippo, what do you feel like eating right now? You're like, well, I'm clearly not feeling like a big fat steak. I feel like a juice or a light salad or something like that, because it's really hot, Matt. I say, okay, I get that. We jump on a plane, we go to Antarctica, it's freezing cold. I'm like, Filippo, what do you feel like? Do you want that sort of fresh juice? You're like, no. Give me a warm bowl of soup, something really hearty. Like, get me there. It's not just, so we know intuitively just the weather. Our genes are the same. Our beliefs are the same. Like, everything's the same. The weather just changed, and our bodies need different foods. But not even that. Our personality's changed with the weather. In the hot weather, you're out, this nice, open extroverted person who wants to go out and explore and have our juice and have fun. And then it becomes freezing cold, and you're like, just get me in by a warm fire. Don't really feel like talking right now. Just give me the soup, Matt. You said the soup was coming. Where is it? We change our personalities very significantly based on weather. And all of these variables, which are the epigenetic variables, influence us significantly. So you're right. It's not just what's right for you. It's what's right for you at this exact moment in time, given who you are on your journey. So it becomes really interesting to be able to quantify that, which is the work that we'll do, I'm sure we'll talk about, because we had to develop something. We had to bring something to life that could help people, because how would you know? You don't know what you don't know. And this has been part of my purpose and my mission for being on the planet. These are the things that, if anyone's listening to this and you've ever had a terminal diagnosis or been through a really challenging time, you see things differently and you see the world very differently. And this really inspired me to do much bigger things in the world and to have a much bigger impact on the health of everyone's lives, not just mine. And that's really what we're really passionate about, bringing that understanding for people.
Well, Matt, you touched on a lot of important things, and intuition, like tuning into our intuition, and of course with that discernment and all of that, you can't just listen to something and say, oh, that's it. It feeling into ourselves. And interestingly enough, when we actually need it the most, maybe right now, is potentially when we don't necessarily have access to it because of all the distraction and all that. And you have found an aid for that with technology that we didn't think was around when you found this and brought this all together. So it'll be interesting to hear that journey and then how it's helps us all when we come back here. And you can go to the Life Changes show for and look up Matt Riemann. And Riemann. We have all the links for him right there. We have a great video of him doing a TEDx talk. Or you can go to mattriemann.com, and we'll also give another link a little later, but MattRiemann.com to learn more about him and what we're going to talk about as soon as we come back here on the Life Changers Show. A little later on, we are going to have our performance guests on the show. We have Naya Kate and we have Lily Fangs, all on the Life Changers Show Online Edition, and we'll have them right after the Ask Dorothy, right after this. We're back. I'm Filippo, and our guest is an acclaimed speaker, author, educator, mentor, and leading expert in transformational leadership, human evolution, and the future of human health. Actually, we're going to get into that right away. We have Matt Riemann on the show. And Matt, before we get into technology, you mentioned intuition, and we talked a little bit about that. Was it in this process that you tuned into something else that is like technology of a different kind on like the spiritual sense?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So I certainly discovered, or as we'd say these days, rediscovered some interesting gifts and abilities that came to my awareness during this process. And you know, it's been 20 years now. It's not a new thing for me, but at the time it was really interesting to understand and explore. As we talked about at the start of this segment, it was, you know, I grew up in science and medicine, very, you know, left foot, left brain in science and medicine. And to start to explore some of these things that I could see that weren't part of my real eyesight, that didn't make any sense to me, to start to feel some of the things that I couldn't explain, to start to witness some of the experiences that weren't even explainable at all by science and medicine. These were things that are really challenging for me in my early stages and early days because I couldn't explain them and I couldn't understand them with science and medicine. And so that really started an interesting journey for me down a spiritual track to look and try to understand and explain these really interesting phenomena that exist. So it's been an interesting journey of me, you know, unpacking and exploring those gifts and abilities. And we're doing a documentary at the moment on miraculous healings where you know, people with all sorts of diseases or issues come along and experience miraculous healing, things that you see in other movies and hear the stories about. This is all possible. And this has sort of been part of my personal journey that people are doing a documentary on right now. And so again, if you ask me as a scientist to explain that, I can't most of the time, but it doesn't mean it's not real. And again, that's been the biggest challenge for me, but the biggest thing I want to bring to the world is just because you can't understand it, and just because you can't explain it, it doesn't mean it's not real. And that really warrants a lot further investigation, a lot further understanding. And for me, my mind still is blown almost every single day when you can sit at one part of your day and just witness an absolute miracle happen in front of your eyes, and then turn over to the left side and just hear what everyone else in the world is talking about, which is, you know, the negative news or politics or the problem with their friend or the neighbor and all the things that we talk about. Yeah, my mind is like, hang on, just wait, everybody, just stop. How are we not focusing all of our attention and time and bandwidth as a collective humanity on these incredible, powerful gifts and abilities that we all have? Mm. How are we not having that as the only conversation in our entire journeys? Versus nice. Like, oh, I wonder which job we're going to. You know, I can't wait for the weekend so I can take a break from all the stress. It's like, why do we do what we do? It's a really interesting question, but we have so many incredible gifts and abilities that are possible as humans. Why aren't we exploring these further? Why don't we give the justification and so much bandwidth and resources and funding and all these things towards what's possible rather than stuck in the things that get us down? So that's been an interesting part of my journey, and I personally feel very called to support a lot more exposure in this area and hopefully a lot more awareness and a lot more funding towards understanding this. When you look back in our journey as humanity, there's been all the times where something wasn't believed. You know, we didn't know what we didn't know. And that's, you know, back in Einstein, Tesla, all these amazing legends that we talk about now. At that time, nobody knew those things. These guys are discovering it. They're doing science on it. They're researching this stuff to then have what we just accept as standard today. So I really feel like we're at this really important crossroads where all of us can really step forward to explore this in a brand new way. And I believe very, very strongly that upcoming generations will start to take the weird and wonderful things that we see as miraculous as more normal as they step into more of that in their daily lives. And I'm really passionate about that. And I'm really excited to be able to be part of a documentary to help bring that to light.
Nice. Well, interesting that you ask a question that is a perfect lead into one of the things that you've discovered and that you are bringing forth into the world. The question you said, why do we do what we do? I think the follow-up question is, what is it that we're doing? Like, what is actually going on is another follow-up question. So the technology potentially could help answer that. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I think just to at the point where I was and just understanding, I had to quantify my own body at that time. I was trying to understand everything about myself. Just really struggling. And this is where all the things came together. And I end up actually just connecting with so many specialists and genius minds from all over the globe that really brought this thing together to understand like, hey, wow, these are quantifiable factors. These epigenetic things can be quantified and measured. We can now understand and make predictions about the impact that they have on people's lives based on their certain genes, et cetera. And this is really where we started to take off. And I just saw these, a lot of visions in the future about how this could work. And I actually saw this like someone had what I thought was a credit card in their hand. Maybe it's a phone, but it looked like a credit card. And they just scanned themselves, their body, and it just detected the issues that they had and then produced the outcome that they needed to heal the person immediately and instantly. Wow. And I was like, wow, that's really interesting. And it was like a hologram that popped up as well. And the person breathed into it, just diagnosed. It created what I think was like a 3D printed medicine, and they just took it and again healed everything. And I was like, wow. And I really got charged with this is what I'm here to do. I need to bring this to life. And I felt very, very strongly about the messages I got as part of that. And we've been working on that technology, you know, ever since. And the things that we've achieved today have been, yeah, remarkable. Right now. But essentially right now, it's called Shae, Shae, so Shae.ai, if you're interested, check it out. But essentially, this is what we built, and this is what cured and saved me and saved my life. And after 20 years of development, my life's purpose, you can now use any smartphone camera to scan your body on the outside to understand your health on the inside. And it's different for every single person on the planet. And Shae can just by scanning you can predict vitamin, mineral deficiencies. It can predict hormones that are most dominant, even brain regions that are most active with no invasive testing or devices at all, just your smartphone camera. And then the AI can tell you exactly what to eat, when to sleep, how to move, even where to live, who to hang out with, even how your mind works, all from a 15-second body scan from any smartphone camera. And so we just finished testing this.
15 seconds.
It's amazing. We just finished testing the AI on 150,000 people. Over the past 5 years, we've tracked them very extensively. And we showed reversal of heart disease, reversal of diabetes, reversal of obesity, improvements in every major wellness variable, sleep, stress, vitality. This is all against international gold standards. And this research is being published right now by Australian universities. And most importantly, these life-changing results have been achieved by just an AI in a phone. So no doctors, no health professionals, no coaches, just an AI in your smartphone. So right now we actually have the science, the medicine, and the technology available to bring precision health to every single unique person on the planet, to empower them with the information they need that's 100% specific and unique to them, to guide them on the choices they make in each moment that will serve them to thrive instead of surviving, and then to support them when they need inspiration or motivation or acknowledgement or answers or direction at all. So just to help save people's lives just like mine. So that's been a really, really powerful part of my journey, and I'm just so excited to be sharing this with the world at this point in time. So we refer to it as a digital twin because in the scan, it'll scan Filippo, for example, and it will actually build a digital version of Filippo in the back end of this into the computer program. And then the AI will actually, so Shae is the name of the AI, Shae will actually talk to digital Filippo and say, hey, digital Filippo, nice to meet you. Can you tell me about the problems and the issues you have? Can you tell me about your hormones? Can you tell me about your personality and how your mind works? And it will be actually the AI talking and interrogating the AI. And then Shae will come back to you as the human and say, hey, Filippo, I just spoke to your digital twin, digital Filippo. Here's what it told me about you. And it's blowing people's minds, the depth and the level of information that it comes up with to say, like, this is very, very specific for you, exactly who you are, down to like the unique personality that people are saying, my mum doesn't even know this about me. Like, how does this know? Like, it's really incredible what we're able to achieve now. And we're using this, and we talked before about this, but using this as tech for good to really empower people to understand who they truly are, exactly what's right for them at this exact moment in time, and to live a healthy and happy life. So we're really proud of what we've achieved so far. And this is going to be something we hope the world's going to hear about a lot in the coming years.
Talk about achievement from the vision that you had to I don't know how many years, but it hasn't been 100, I'm sure, to now. That is quite a feat.
It's quite a feat, but it's taken us 20 years. So it certainly feels like a moment in time that we're now here, and it's really exciting to see what's happening with this. But it's relatively speaking, I think we've done an incredible job with amazing people over the world. The technology is now already live in 140 countries, changing lives everywhere. And we're really, really excited about it. And we hope that the world will hear about this sometime, either later this year or early next year.
Well, without going into depth, of course, and if you can't share the answer to this, then by all means don't. But what, for example, is one thing that the phone camera can see that we can't, and that the AI can figure out from just like one thing that it sees? Is it like the color of our eyes or our tongue or the color of our skin? Yeah. I mean, what is it seeing?
So it picks up on a lot of the phenotypic features. So the phenotype again is you. So eye color, hair color, et cetera, et cetera. So things like that will pick up on features. But it'll also use a lot of different science layers, which is really, really interesting. So because we are science and medical geeks, that's kind of who we are at our core. We have leveraged a lot of really amazing and powerful sciences. So such as when we take a scan, the scan itself will start, will start to build a 3D avatar of you with your proportions and with your shapes and sizes. And that will actually leverage a lot of the data sets that we've collected over time and available information to show how your shape and size is attached to how your bodily functions actually work. And so that's your shape and size affects or is correlated with a risk of disease you have, for example. And again, intuitively, you spoke about intuition. You know this if there's someone walking down the street and they're shorter in nature, they're quite overweight, they've got a large waist and a large neck circumference, let's say. Most people would say, oh, that's probably a person who's likely to have a high risk of diabetes, for example, than someone who's tall and slim, doesn't have any sort of body fat on them at all. So these things are actually scientifically validated and correlated to say a larger waist circumference and a larger neck circumference and shortness in stature is highly correlated with diabetes, for example. So this is science that already exists. So we can start to piece together some really incredible stories, but we're also able to leverage other sciences such as embryology, which is essentially how you develop how your organs develop through life from womb to tomb, how you sort of evolve from an embryo through to who you are today, again, as your phenotype looks in the mirror as you. And so we can reverse engineer to say, well, if Filippo looks like he does today, we can kind of reverse engineer and make a prediction about what he looked like 5 years ago or 10 years ago or when he was a child, because he must have had certain features and functions in his body to grow into who he is today. And without going to all the sort of boring science around it, there's a lot of different layers of your body that evolve and they grow different organs. So there's a layer of your body called your ectoderm that grows more your skin and your eyes and your nervous system, for example. An endoderm layer in your body grows more of your visceral, so stomach and pancreas and those sorts of things. And so everybody develops at these different rates with different biases towards these areas. And it turns out that it can be very predictable to understand that and also be able to reverse engineer that, which then leads towards some predictions about disease states or functions or dysfunctions in the body. So there's a lot of different sciences. That's just two examples. One example there was anthropometry, the other one's endocrinology. But there's also so the science of endocrinology, for example, that looks at your hormones and correlations between those two sciences I spoke about. So there's a lot of different ways when you use a lot of the intelligence to filter many, many different data sets. So huge amounts of data. So we talk big data to end up with some really strong, really accurate predictions about who you are, your state of health or disease at this point of time, and also the actual functions that happen physiologically inside of your body to give us an insight about how epigenetics, such as the food you eat or the sleep you get or the exercise you do, will impact or change that state of health or disease. So we've spent a lot of time, again, 20 years, piecing all these puzzles together, being really extensive with our testing and going through it. But we're now at the point where we can just use a body scan to actually understand about your risk of disease, even your mental health. We understand about how your mind works and mental health, even just from scanning your body. Your body and mind aren't separate, and it's really interesting to look at the correlations of what we've found there. It's absolutely fascinating, actually, and happy to share a bit more about that if we have time as well.
I for another time, for sure. This is absolutely fascinating, and I knew it would be, and we all did, but I just didn't know. And how perfect. I mean, again, it would have been nice, I think, for you to be able to do all this without you having to go through the experience you did. But I can't imagine that, you know, I mean, like, how perfect is that? You were a scientist and you were teaching, and so now you're able to use that after that happened, and here you are. Like that can't be a coincidence.
No coincidences. And I think all the adversities that we experience in our life are certainly opportunities for us to learn and grow. And I really believe it's these moments in our life that help define who we are and where we're going. And if you listen and can be really tapped into that, I think there's a lot of guidance in those things that we find as, you know, points of suffering in our life. They're really opportunities for growth. And I know a lot of people share that. I really believe that. And it's gone from, you know, this vision about, I guess, initially you'd say I was selfish. I was trying to save my own life to really me getting clear on my purpose and my passion for being on the planet and really wanting to affect change in the world at a large scale to affect billions of people, not just a few people. And the fact with this AI brain is kind of essentially what Shay is. And we're now able to use that in so many different ways. So it's not just for you scanning yourself to understand about what's right. We're using this in schools for teachers and educators to scan kids to understand about their inherent learning styles, how to best learn in the classroom, their behaviors and how to actually manage that for the kids and for the teachers that's there. That translates into the home for parenting and family intelligence that's there. We have this applied to the corporate setting for productivity, for workflow, for flow states, for communication, to help people understand who they are and how to actually integrate and interact in that way. We've got this built for health and medical professionals, of course, so where it's an AI assistive to give diagnoses and differential diagnoses for patients and then actually make predictions about their intervention plans and how successful they'll be and all those sorts of things. So we're really just trying to make this a very, very specific thing. And to your point before, there's a really interesting part of this in the non-scientific world, which we've found really interesting in terms of the spiritual intelligence. And this is an understanding and a vision I had really clearly about the fact that, you know, we are all here, and every major religion believes that, you know, when our physical body dies, our spirit carries on to wherever it goes. And each religion has a different belief around that. But the fact is that everyone believes our spirit carries on, whether it's heaven, hell, reincarnation, whatever it might be. But I saw this really clear vision about spirit choosing our body, and your spirit is here with us in our body. And there's a reason why we're here spiritually on the planet. There's a reason why we chose this specific body. And that's been a really interesting thing. Wow. In the more healing aspect that I've been really interested in researching, we've been researching this for over 10 years, to say, is there keys and clues in our biology that can lead us to an understanding about our spirit intelligence? And the answer is yes. We can't obviously prove that. We've done some really interesting studies to show that we actually have spiritual intelligence and keys and clues that's translatable inside of us. And so we actually have a version of the AI right now where you can scan yourself. It'll actually help you understand about your purpose, about passions, about your natural talents, your gifts, your genius. Again, just from scanning you and using a spirit intelligence lens to help translate that, which is really, really interesting. So I think we're on the fringe of some really interesting things into the future. We're very, very solid and grounded in the science and medicine approach for health, for wellness, for medicine. But we're really starting to broach and cover a lot of ground in the spiritual aspects of spiritual intelligence and consciousness, about how our minds work, our personalities, how we're built, the things that we encounter throughout our upbringings and things like my disease diagnoses and the pain and suffering that comes from that, and how that does shape us for who we're being here on the planet. So it's a really interesting area that I love to explore, and maybe we'll talk about that another time.
And maybe indeed. And I hope you also had a vision. We don't have time to talk about it now, but I also hope you had a vision of how we can protect ourselves from people who might want to use this kind of information against us. But this sounds fascinating. It sounds like something that needs further exploration. And those who are and can serve many right now and are already is. So those who are interested, did you say it was Shay, Shae.ai?
Yes, that's exactly right. And if you want to know more about the applications of everything, if you go to Shay Group, which is SHAE.group, Shea Group will have all the ways that this intelligence is being applied in over 140 countries right now, and there's a lot of different applications that are really valuable for individuals, for kids, for corporates, for organizations, nonprofits, etc. So if you're interested to find out more about what we're doing, we'd love to talk with you. And we really believe that collaboration is the way that we can change the world. And for me personally, with my journey and the technology we've been sharing about, I really believe that if each of us can just know where to start, what to do, and how to get there, we can change our own lives for the better, and then we can end this current epidemic of disease on the planet. So I really hope that if you're listening to this, come and join us, come and find out more, because I really believe that together we can achieve a world free from pain and suffering. So let's do it.
Well, thank you, Matt. And again, we have all kinds of links for Matt at the Matt Riemann page on the Life Changes Show website. That's Matt, M-A-T-T-R-I-E-M-A-N-N. And of course, mattriemann.com. And with that, Matt, thank you so much. All the best to you. Thank you for sharing as you have today on the Life Changes Show.
Thank you, Filippo. And thank you, everyone, for dialing in. I hope this has been inspirational, if nothing else, to find out more about who you are.
And so it is. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is David, and although it has been quite some time since we connected, I want to thank you for all the wisdom you have shared with me. I was living on friends' couches and sleeping in my car when a couch wasn't available. And then you reminded me that as the divine child of God that I am, I have the power to co-create a better life. So now I am earning money and have my own apartment and am doing healing work on the side. However, it appears that the world we live in is on a very destructive course, and I am fearful for my future, and I'm afraid I will be back living in my own car. How do I release this fear?
Dear David, thanks for this timely question. The only thing we ever have to deal with are our thoughts. When you changed your thoughts in the past, you were able to co-create a better life. I lovingly encourage you to please be willing to become very conscious of the thoughts you are dwelling on about your future and the future of the world. Let's choose to consciously change the fearful thoughts into positive thoughts, as fear does not serve you or anyone. The way I co-create beautiful days filled with love and joy is to begin each day with a prayer of gratitude. And I'm very excited to start each day creating a better world for myself and others by focusing on all of the good in my life and on all of the good occurring in today's world. Let's look for the good and expand upon it by visualizing wonderful and positive changes. Let's practice gratitude. And when we find ourselves focusing on negativity, let's immediately shift our thoughts to focusing on all of the good in our lives. For example, I'm grateful for my home, my daughter, my family, my extended soul family, my loving, supportive friends, my health, my ability to discern what matters and what doesn't, and so much more. If you aren't sure how to shift your thoughts, I lovingly suggest that you check out the How to Focus on the Good article found at attackinghappiness.com. David, you are very powerful, and I look forward to hearing of your progress as you choose to let go of your present state of fear.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be right back with our performance guests, Lily Fangs and Naya Kate, here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition, right after this. We're back, and we have our performance guests with us. Actually, we have had both of them on before and individually, and it was such a pleasure to have our executive producer, Mark, come across them performing together. So the idea of having them on together was so exciting to us. And who are we talking about? Well, we're talking about international touring live performance artist Lily Fangs and singer and song healer Naya Kate. So we welcome Naya Kate to the show. Unfortunately, Lily Fangs had a animal emergency and was not able to make it to tonight's show, but we will be talking about her and the project that Naya and her have together. But we're happy to have Naya. Naya, welcome back to the Life Changes Show.
Oh, it's so good to be back. Thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh, it has been so long, and so much has changed since you were last on. And of course, we introduced you at the time as a singer, but I don't think we introduced you as a song healer. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that is something that developed, you know, during the pandemic when, as a performing artist myself, I lost my livelihood pretty much overnight and had to figure out how to pivot. And when I looked at my body of hundreds, if not thousands, of original songs that I'd written over decades, I started to see this theme. And more often than not, the theme in my original music was around healing. Mm. And more often than not, it was around healing trauma. And the song healer term was just putting language to something that I had always been doing for myself, but just hadn't known it. And then I started being able to have the privilege of doing that for others as well, composing songs in service of liberation and healing for others.
Now, actually, we're going to get a little more into your work in a little bit. But before we do, want to play something that you and Lily Fangs did together. And actually, it all connects because that's kind of connected to the pandemic and the group you started.
Yeah, you could say that. It's we again, it was kind of one of these things. Lily and I, we'll get into this more, I'm sure, but Lily and I really deepened our connection in healing circles together. We're a part of a women's circle that we'll talk more about, but you know, a lot of our initial connection was, you know, I didn't know that during the pandemic, my stage would become a healing mat in the middle of the woods surrounded by a bunch of women on mushrooms. You know what I mean? But that's what it became. And
wait, you were sitting on mushrooms?
Singing, I said. but that's what it became. You know, that was just the reality of what we were doing. And Lily and I, you know, are healing together and singing together. And, you know, one day we looked at each other and we were on stage together. And so we're still defining what the group is, if it's Naya and Lily, or if it's, you know, a new project that we form. We're in the exploration of that, but it's an organic unfolding. So excited. What you're hearing today is a bootleg live recording that we just happened to capture at our first real show together in Costa Rica this past March.
Oh, this is exciting. And the title of the song?
Jungle Mind.
Jungle Mind. Well, here are Lily Fangs and Naya Kate. This is pre-recorded in the jungle, sitting on and singing on mushroom. No, I'm just kidding. It was in Costa Rica, right?
Yeah, there were no mushrooms involved in this particular performance.
Okay. And here it is on the Life Changes Show, pre-recorded.
You know what I just realized?
What did you realize?
This is our first show together.
This is our first show together, y'all. We're so grateful to be with you receiving us. That's right, sorta. Yeah, this is the first proper amplified.
Proper, you know?
Proper. Yeah, first of many. Does that feel true? You think this should be spread around the world a bit? I think so. If only we can get out of the jungle of our mind. That's what this joint's called.
Oh, to sing jungle mind in the jungle. Here we go.
Perfect setting.
Yeah. I know how to start a war in the jungle. War in the jungle of my mind. Ooh. My mind. I know how to start a war in the jungle. Whoa. A war in the jungle of my mind. My mind. In the jungle of my mind, rumble on the vine. The thicket of my thoughts creating doubt. A labyrinth of woes through all the highs and lows. A clearer path I just can't live without.
lost in this tangled maze, a never-ending haze, wander in the darkness where I roam. Here is where I tread in mental wilderness, wander in the fog I call my home. I know how to start a war in the jungle. Whoa. War in the jungle of my first up in duality, good, bad, right, wrong, labels might be tragedy, anything divisive, definitely draining battery, so please just take my image and then go ahead and shatter me. Certainly been Phoenix, I've certainly been Pawn, King, Jack, Rook, Knight, who's doing wrong? I'm tangled in the jungle and the flowers and the thorns, this shit just keep on growing, what's on and on and on. I know how to start a war, but I know how. The new sun rise over the mountain. We sing this song and it flows like the fountain. A war in the jungle. A war in the jungle.
Jungly mind sometimes. Jungly?
Yes.
Jungly mind. I relate.
It's so, the jungle.
So Lily Fangs and Naya Kate singing together as a duo, and who knows what'll come of that. So Lily L-I-L-Y Fangs F-A-N-G-Z and Naya Kate N-A-I-A-K-E-T. Go to the pages for each of them on the website, The Life Changes Show, and you will find more information on each of them, including links where you can find them and follow them. Naya, I have an idea. You asked at the beginning of that live version of the song. As a matter of fact, I think there's only live version of the song, right? You haven't even recorded it yet. Officially, right?
It's in process. Oh. Honestly, it's there. All we need is Lily's verse, and we're good to go. Yeah, but oh, so yeah.
Well, I'm glad we got the live version. And at the beginning of that, you said, you know, are you feeling like we want more of this? And so I was answering, yeah, but I was on mute. Uh-huh. But I had an inspiration. I was thinking, oh wait, I know exactly. Yes, there'll be more, and it's going to be Naya and Lily Palooza.
There it is. That's the project. You've done it for us, Filippo.
You know, back when you were doing NBC's The Voice, I know we talked about it last time, but did you know you were eventually going to be doing more healing music?
No, I did not. I look back at that time now and, you know, I think the biggest takeaway that I had, it was so interesting to hear Matt, you know, really speak so much to each person's uniqueness and really about how so much of this life and what we do here trying to you know, find our purpose is really around, and not just trying to find our purpose, but trying to find how to take care of ourselves and so that we can take care of the earth and the people that we love. And so much of that it really has to do with embodying who you are. And what I learned about being on The Voice is that is what not to do in terms of going onto any kind of stage, but particularly one where there are millions of people watching, but walking onto any kind of stage without really having a clear expression of who I am. And that was the biggest teaching. And not to say that I don't stand by what, you know, the way that I performed on that show or how that went. But when I look back at myself, I remember just feeling like, you know, I had just moved to LA. I really thought of myself as a sponge in terms of like just being able to soak up all the information and wisdom and opinions of those of people around me. I felt like everybody knew better than I did at that time. And there was a humility in that, but there was also, I was giving away everything that I knew about myself, if only I just gave myself permission to sit with myself long enough to find my own answers. I didn't, I was too afraid to do that. And so, you know, being on that stage really taught me that. And I said to myself, never again. I did not know that that would mean diving deep into a trauma healing journey, you know, and then really being able to articulate that through the music that I share. But I did figure that part out at least, you know.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot. You know, it sounds to me like you know how to end a war in the jungle mind now.
I am human and I often forget. So again, so much of life is remembering who you are and remembering what you know. And so I do have to remind myself, and I do need my sisters like Lily and other women that I'm surrounded by and people that I'm surrounded by, you know, to remind me of who I am and what I do know when I forget.
Well, speaking of women that you're surrounded by and facilitating more women being surrounded by each other in this beautiful way, let's talk about a woman's group.
Yeah. So the Dojo Woman Collective is a membership that I co-founded with a dear sister, friend, ally, guide, Zahara Zimring. And it's really her work that really led, was what both Lily and I invested in. And that's how Lily and I really reconnected and deepened. But Zahara and I went on to co-found a membership together called the Dojo Woman Collective. And it's mostly virtual online membership for women, a lot of coaches, facilitators, a lot of artists, healers, fellow musicians like Lily and myself, who want to show up in the world and share their gifts, but are also doing the trauma healing work. And women do not heal in a silo. We need each other to, like I said before, remind ourselves of what we know when we forget, but we also need each other to, you know, realize like just how powerful we are. One thing that I'll often say is it's like, because I, in addition to, you know, being a performing artist, I've recently got my a transformational breathwork certification, and I've gotten into the coaching world. So there's a lot of different things that I'm really passionate about now. And so I'll say, you know, it's one thing to facilitate a group of women. It's another thing to facilitate a group of dojo women. You know, when you're surrounded by other powerful women in the space who have their own gifts to share, and then you're leading those powerful women, and then you are like, whoa, I'm powerful enough to lead the, you know what I mean? It's like it's a lot of power in one space. And so yeah, we need, you know, women who are, you know, in the world on their own stages, whether that's a stage like the ones Lily and I are on, or, you know, a stage where you're doing a workshop or in a one-on-one, you know, coaching session with a client or whatever that might look like, that stage might look like, when you're in the practice of giving your gifts consistently to better the world, you need safe spaces where you can receive, you know, receive yourself and receive from others. And so in the Dojo Woman Collective, we try and find that harmony between showing up in your purpose, but also showing up in your design. That's the best way I've learned how to articulate giving and receiving for women. Giving to me feels like purpose. It feels like what I'm born to do. Receiving feels like that's what I'm designed to do as a woman, like physiologically, even like we need to, if we're not receiving, we're denying our womanhood in a lot of ways. We won't be able to share our gifts and give our gifts if we don't have safe spaces to receive, and striking that balance can be a challenge, but it's so important. So that's what we strive to do.
Nice. And we're going to get to hear one of your songs and a little later on one of Lily's songs, but before we share this song, I speaking of being tuned in and using our intuition and all that, I'm saying this a little tongue-in-cheek, but it's almost as if you said, I wonder if someday soon we would all have to stay home and be on Zoom for 2 years, what would I do? And you got the answer before that even happened. I mean,
it's true. It's true. Yeah, it's wild to think about at the end. So in addition to Dojo Womaning and performing with Lily in Costa Rica and doing this healing work, I also front an urban reggae band with my younger brother and my now fiance, Lee John. Yeah. And at the end, toward like in the fall of 2019, we had this idea to write, record, and release a song every week in 2020. Wow. So we started to prepare for that at the end of 2019. And then in January of 2020, we started to execute it. And we, you know, whatever that first Friday was in January of 2020, we wrote, recorded, and released our first song, and we kept doing it. And then March comes around and the pandemic hits and we all like lose our livelihood of performing overnight, but we're looking at each other and we're like, well, we kind of have the perfect business model for this moment. And one of the songs that we'll share, I know I sent to, I hope it's Prayer for the Hour that
it
you
is
have
Prayer
up.
For the Hour.
Okay, good. That's one of the ones that we released during that time. And will also is one of the ones that Lily and I perform together a lot. So you'll hear a version of this song, and there will be a new one coming out hopefully soon with Lily and I as well.
Oh, well, great. Well, do let us know when that comes out. In the meantime, this is a pre-recorded song. This has all of the players that you mentioned, everybody.
Yep.
Part of
yep.
this song. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we're all multi-instrumentalists. We play musical chairs. But my brother and my fiance both drum. My fiance is also a bass and guitar player. My brother's also a keyboard player. I play bass and guitar. So it's kind of hard to remember who did what when, but we're all on it.
Well, I didn't catch the name of the band.
It's Say Real.
Say real. Okay.
That's it.
Well, yeah. Here is Nayakate and
Say Real.
Yep. And this pre-recorded version of Prayer for the Hour here on the Life Changes Show online.
I don't understand this. It's falling through my hands like I'm losing my grip. The secrets that I'm keeping aren't mine to hide. I'm reliving your story, I take it in stride. Pray for an hour each day. Help me understand what I mean, what I say. Pray for an hour each day. Pray for an hour each day. Help me understand what you mean, what you say. Pray for an hour each day. Prayer for the understand what I mean, what I say. Pray for an hour each day. Pray for an hour each day. Help me understand what you mean, what you say. Pray for an hour each day. Prayer for the hour, prayer for the hour, say.
Nice, Naya Kate and Say Real. Well, we do have the link for Say Real, and that is sayrealmusic.com. So
that's right.
Check them out. As a matter of fact, I like how LA or US Weekly actually said LA's hottest new band. And
we do have that claim to fame.
there's more. The Rolling Stones said about Naya, an earthly solstress. And there it is. Well, Naya, there are all kinds of links at the page for Naya Kate, NAIAKETE. And again, sayrealmusic.com for the band. Any other link we should give out real quick?
Let's see. Well, if you want to learn more about the dojo, the membership that I spoke of earlier, you can check out the dojoinitiation.com/collective. There are also links to that, you know, on my Instagram, which is my favorite social media playground of choice, and links to Lily and I's collaborations together there as well, which you can all find on Say Real's website. Everything is, you know, everything's linked to everything else.
Nice. Thank you, Naya. And speaking of collaboration, well, we can't go without playing a Lily Fang song. And unfortunately, she couldn't join us. I mean, literally just before the show started a couple minutes, she ended up in the veterinary emergency room with her doggie. So we wish her and her dog all the best with that and send energy. In the meantime, though, you stepped in and said, here's a song that we could play. And that was very sweet. It's called Not the Same. Any reason why you picked this particular one?
Honestly, I just love this song. There's a verse that I've heard Lily share many a time within the context of the song and outside that just hits me every time. I don't know if it would have been the one that she would have chosen if she had it. So I did my best. I was freaking out. I was like, dude, I don't know if I can do this. But she's at the hospital. And
you were in the middle of something else yourself. And
yeah. I was at a family dinner, you know, it's a bit, but this one is just meaningful to me, just because of how deeply the words resonate. And, I'm so excited sweet. To share it with you all. And it's off of an album called, or an EP called Drifted, which is available on Lily's Bandcamp, which is linked in her Instagram and all the places as well.
Well, thank you for that. And thank you for stepping in and sending that. I should say that she had sent us a video actually that she wanted us to post on the page, and it's there, and it looks like it's not posted anywhere else. So it looks like she was in her hotel room and she played this song and maybe even just sent it to us. So here we uploaded it. So you could find that when you go to Lily Fangs at the Life Changes Show, LILYFANGZ. So there's that. And I should say she'd probably, if she were on, talk about also how she blends genres and how she invokes the magic of freestyle and crowd participation for sure on every stage, from Red Rocks Amphitheater to TED Talks, dive bars, and festivals around the land, because she is definitely out there touring internationally. So we're excited for her, for you, Naya, and for the two of you together and for the world. So hopefully at some point we can do this again in some form, either the two of you or the three of you or however it ends up being, Naya and Lillipalooza. So that being said, let's hear the song, and it's called Not the Same by Lily Fangs, here pre-recorded on the Life Changes show.
Like I'm holding my breath, but I forgot how to breathe. Got my head in my heart, and my heart on my sleeve. Got away with the wind, but it's been knocked out of me. Got my heart in my hands, and I'm down on my knees. Lord, please, I've been praying for a while now. Look it up, go ahead and bring my file down. We can run through the notes, I'm not a child now. Days are different, even though I used to wild out. I'm not the same as I am. Used to be. Everything about me bowed as backwards as a rewind. Sticking to the script, never sticking to the design. I resign, I need to fit in. Wondering about the puzzle pieces in all of the places that I've been. The places deep within that stand the test of time. My outer being changed, but the shadows of my mind, well, they're still there, still there. I still care. I've gotten on the board, but the board game don't play fair.
Lily Fangs, thank you for sharing that with us. Great pick. You know, I've never heard anybody say this, but what came to mind is short and deep. So good. Well, yeah. So Lily Fangs, we have her links and that video that I mentioned. And also we've got some pictures on both pages for Lily and Naya of them on stage. I feel like we're going to be seeing more of that. But Lily's Instagram is Lily Fangs, LILYFANGZ. Naya, what fun was this?
So much fun.
Thank you so much for coming back on and for sharing what you're doing now. And it just feels so strong. So more power to you, more power to both of you. And I'm looking forward to the next time.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. Hope I did my best to represent Lily, and sending you love, Lils. And just looking forward to all more work that we get to do together, and all the opportunities that, you know, get to come our way because we're together, you know. And one thing that I'll just leave with saying is, I know for myself as a woman in music, there can be a lot of competition between women in the industry. I definitely have come upon that, and I think Lily has as well. And so it just feels really good to feel like we're in a collaboration where we can each be our own artists and stand on our own two feet in that way. And we can really support and love one another's music, and also really have this desire to just not want to do it alone anymore and want to do it together. Wow. And so it feels really good to be, in that exploration. So, yeah.
Well said. Beautiful. Thank you. We need more of that. So thank you for saying it, putting it out there, and doing it. So living it. Thank you. Naya Katay. Oh my goodness. What a pleasure. Naya Katay, and of course, Lily Fangs. And a big thank you also to Matt Riemann. And that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Lejeur, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.